Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to the calling.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with our special guest, Angie Setzer, the goddess of grains and the vice president, madam vice president of Citizens Grain, Citizens Elevator. Sorry, vice president of grains at Citizens Elevator. I get it right eventually. Happy New Year, my dear. What's up?
Oh, not much. And you can call me anything you want as long as it's not late to a meal. VP of grains is what they call me on occasion, but I'm good. Ready to get back at it. Glad to, am I the only person that really, like, I enjoy time off, but I'm really ready to be back to normal trading and be beyond the holidays?
I don't ever want time off. I want busy trading all the time. Then I don't have to worry about it. Cause then it's like being off anyways, right?
Yeah. I guess, you trade well and then you take the time, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, I'm glad to be back. Glad to not be able to have to talk about, you know, oh, it's just a thin trade. You know, it's just now you don't have that you can kind of point people to. Now it's like, oh, we're back from the holidays and ready to rock and roll, I guess. So.
Well, and we did come back in the holidays, and we did have a little pop up in wheat and in corn. What's your take?
Well, the wheat story, and this is kind of interesting. I actually just mentioned it here on Twitter. The wheat story, it came the Bloomberg or a news group, if you will, released an article yesterday stating that a certain satellite imagery group had come out and said that the weather had caused some significant winter kill to wheat, you know, the cold temperatures and things like that. It had resulted in some wheat winter kill, and that resulted in a nice quick move upward. I mean, wheat and corn had found some support over the holiday time period anyway, kind of bounced off some of their lows. And traditionally, you'll see them start to trade stronger as we enter into January. You know, if they've had a weaker December, we start to kind of claw our way back a bit. And so I think that's what it really came from, as folks had heard the stories of winter kill, and that encouraged some buying, you know, buying pressure coming back in. And we saw the market move higher. We're still seeing some support today. You know, I would caution anyone getting too excited over an idea of winter kill in wheat, just because typically between about December and February, wheat is relatively resistant to, you know, being completely wiped out, you know, upwards of or downwards of 5 to 10 below zero Fahrenheit, you know, before it really can cause some damage. Now, there were areas in the eastern Corn Belt that did hit levels that low, and could have some considerable damage done, but we won't know that until spring. My real concern, though, is the continuation of dry conditions, you know, in the southern plains. So I can't discount concern that we could have some production issues going on in wheat, you know, and so I think that there is a reason that we're kind of starting to work our way higher. The one thing that really intrigues me, though, and that kind of is telling me that this may not be just a flash in the pan sort of story, is what's going on from a spread standpoint. And I'm looking specifically at Chicago wheat. Now, I haven't looked at the spreads in Kansas City or Minneapolis, and you know, you can slap me on the hand for that, for not being prepared. But in Chicago wheat here, the D's March roll went off at about 25, 26 cents. Mm-hmm. You could roll the March, May, you know, at one point close towards of 20 cents it carry. And we're back down to about 12 cents carry right now, which would tell me that the market is, you know, working in the direction of trying to encourage nearby movement. Basis has firmed up pretty substantially here. So, you know, to me, that's almost the more bullish story in wheat, is that the basis is firmed and spreads are starting to come in, which traditionally would indicate we're due for a futures rally. And with corn and wheat tied so closely together, you know, perhaps we'll see both kind of start to make their way back towards the upside.
Well, yeah, I mean, you and I have been bullish wheat anyways. I mean, but is it roadkill or is it rage killer or winter kill? What is it?
Well, yeah, right. That's what I mean. Wheat, they call it the cockroach of grains. You know what I mean? Like, it's got nine lives, and that is pretty accurate. I mean, there's been plenty of times where we've been concerned that we've killed the wheat crop. But, you know, the big story, of course, is going to be next Friday, the 12th, we get the USDA report, and that will be that'll give us the first sign of or the first indication of winter wheat acres too. So that's something, you know, something to take into consideration as could be viewed as bullish. I'm anticipating the lowest winter wheat acres ever on record. And I don't know how you could necessarily ignore that. You know, I mean, I keep hearing, well, we're washing wheat. Okay, that's fun, you know, but with wheat, the demand is so great that you're awash in it until you aren't. You know, it's feast or famine, it seems, with wheat, literally. And so that's something that I'm definitely watching is I remain bullish. I remain steadfast in my opinion. You know, I think we have some pretty tremendous upside in wheat that could happen quickly. It may not last forever, but it's definitely something to be watching for.
Well, no, I agree. I think we're going higher, and I've said it all along. I my only concern in the whole complex is still soybeans, and they could be fine as well. But I tell you one thing: I am concerned about the prices that we're at right now. Because I find it hard to believe these guys are going to be all that thrilled putting this stuff in the ground at losses to begin with, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I mean, that's been the big point, and that's one of the reasons that we anticipate, you know, record low acreage is the price has convinced a lot of guys, especially in the southern plains, that it just doesn't make them any money. Wheat down that way. You know, you're busting your butt to yield 40, 50 bushel to the acre in a lot of cases. You know, outliers have some better yield figures and stuff like that. But the cost of production doesn't cover that type of yield. You know, in my neck of the woods, Michigan, you know, your traditional crop is 90 bushel to the acre with, you know, several guys are able to get into that 100 bushel to the acre and actually make some money on it. But we also have a better local market from a cash standpoint because we have 5-6 mills in the state that we can sell into. But, yeah, I mean, the price has been the biggest determinant or price is one of the biggest factors, at least when it comes to making that decision on planting. And then, of course, we all know that weather wasn't really conducive to active wheat planting this fall. So that was another issue.
Hold that thought with that other issue. Cause you know, we got lots of issues, so I got to take care of them all. I got to take care of everything here. Right. Anyways, this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're with my friend, Angie Setzer, the goddess of grains, is going to teach me how to public speak into an audience as well. Cause I don't know how to do that. So she's going to teach me today. In the meantime, don't forget to download the show every day at libertytalk.fm. You have to help me get to 1 million downloads a month. And that's our goal for this year. So do your fair part and help out and help Angie out. And don't forget about the highschoolinvesting.com as we go into our seventh year of financing schools throughout the country. We need some help now, and that would mean you'd go to patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And, of course, those who do will get free access to the platform in which the kids are going to use, and you can actually learn something yourself. So make sure you check that out. And also, don't forget to get Bubba's daily update, which is emailed to you every day right after the close as I interpret what happened that day and what I'm looking for tomorrow. And then all you have to do is go to BubbaTrading.com and the little box pops up and all you have to do is just fill it out and you get it for free every day delivered to your inbox with my comments and my opinions, and you can kind of take that what it's worth, plus the fact to get a little extra bonus occasionally when there's a football game or a big game. You get my handicapping as well. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back with Angie Setzer after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Todd Bubba Horowitz, you got it yourself. Andy Setzer. the vice president or Madam VP of Citizens Elevator. And Angie, so we're talking about, you know, planting. Now, what happens? I mean, I don't know all the costs. I mean, again, I'm not in it as that much, but I understand some of the basics. But it doesn't look like there's really anything that's a moneymaker at the moment right now, is there?
No. It's odd that you say that. Just because of the fact that, or maybe ironic is a better term. I actually just had a conversation with a grower this morning, a customer of mine, who had put his wheat on delayed price, half of the crop he'd put into delayed price or storage, you know, where he's paying me as the elevator manager a certain amount of money per month to have the opportunity to price his wheat at a later date. You know, he had some wheat contracted that was $535 cash. That was what half of his crop was. And the other half we priced this morning at $4.20, less the cost of storage, which is about 8 cents a month since last August. So I'll let you guys do the math. But we were having a conversation because his family traditionally was a dairy family farm. They've had a dairy in the family for 100 years. He's never been a big fan of dairy, so his father and mom have slowly been transitioning away from the dairy aspect, and he's been converting it more into dairy steers, Holsteins, with some in the biz, we call them colored cattle, which are Angus steers or something of that nature. And so he's got cattle. He's got exposure to the dairy industry. He started feeding a few hogs, and he has grain. And he was telling me he also works with a few Amish men in the area, and they traditionally will sell some of their corn to the Amish for them to feed their cattle as well or their animals. And he said that he actually is waiting on the Amish to pay him, which is the first time that he can ever remember that he's waiting on them to pay him. So even the Amish are struggling. And the one thing that he said was, there's nothing right now that you could call a glimmer of hope. He said, you're not making any money in grains. You're not making money in cattle. You're not making money in hogs. You're not making money in dairy. He said, I just don't know what to do. He said, of course, we'll be fine. We'll make it through. You know, we'll cut corners where we need to, you know, but it's just like what you and I have talked about several times, where you have your costs have not gone down. If anything, they've increased healthcare costs, energy costs, you know, fertilizer costs have actually gone up here recently versus where they were even a couple months ago. You know, things like that, they have not gone down, but the cost of grain has been halved in the last 5, 6, 7 years. So it is something right now that is a bit of a struggle. We saw here in the state of Michigan, or I say here, I'm in Iowa, of course, but my territory is in Michigan. And we saw a dairy farm out there that has been featured on a TV show, you know, quite common TV show that people watch on satellite TV there. The dairy farm, they were looking at losing it. They couldn't get their bank to refinance, and they were short on money. There wasn't an illness in the family. There wasn't a death. There wasn't anything like that. They just could not make ends meet. They're a very small dairy, and so the cost of scale is not there for them. And they ended up having a GoFundMe page raise over $80,000, which was pretty phenomenal. And I guess the tipping point, because the local bank came in and ended up refinancing some of their debt load and helping them out in that respect. So, you know, it's one of those things where right now you're starting to hear some pretty scary stories, I would say. I mean, maybe scary is not the proper term, but we are going to be losing farmers very soon. We already are. It's rough out there because the prices are all low and the costs are all still high, and people are struggling with trying to make ends meet when it comes down to it. But the reality is we've been here before. I mean, that's what it's like in the commodity industry, is you got to have low prices to encourage increased demand, and, you know, low prices fix low prices, blah, blah, blah. But right now here we sit, we watch, we're waiting for something to happen from a bullish standpoint, you know, but at the same time, I point out to a lot of my growers that they still have $4 corn, you know, May of 19 still above $4. Decent 19's 407 on the board, you know, so there are some opportunities out there that guys can can use. They just have to get, you know, get to next year, I guess you could say. But at the same time, there's a lot of guys that are hedged and they're perfectly comfortable. You know, I got a guy that's going to be delivering, you know, 1092 futures on soybeans because he was smart on the hedge and the carry, and we manage the spreads properly, and he's not going to be sad when he gets paid for that contract.
You know, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that part later because that's an important part of what we do as well. But I got to ask you, so you know, when you're putting in at a loser, why would you even put it in? Okay, I mean, what makes somebody want to plant something that's a loser to begin with?
Ugh, you have to. I mean, that's the hardest part is what is your, you know, what is your other option? And so, you know, I've asked the same question because I have a lot of customers and there's a lot of people that I interact with on Twitter that are farming. I call it a loser farm. Maybe they're paying $250 in land rent and it should be $150 or something like that. And what you tend to hear from growers in those situations is that if they cut and run, they'll never get a chance to get that land back. So if they don't plant, you know, what is their other option? For many, the other option is you rent it out to someone else. You know, there is talk that some folks might, you know, try to put it into CRP, remove it from production. You know, perhaps they put it back into pasture land, but that's not free. excuse me, but there, so it is, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, from you and from your standpoint and my standpoint, both, you look out and you think to yourself, God, if I were guaranteeing myself a loss at the end of the day, why the heck would I do it? And unfortunately, that's a conversation that a lot of guys need to have with themselves. I mean, I sat and talked to an older farmer who's in his mid-70s a year ago. So this is a year removed. This is almost 2 years ago this coming July. And he said that he figured he was going to lose $40,000 the next year farming. And I said, well, why? You're 75 years old. You know, why would you do that? Why would you eat into your equity like that? And he said, I don't know what else to do. And so that really kind of resonated with me. It still doesn't make much sense. I mean, for a $40,000 loss, you could just, you know, park the tractor in the barn, rent out the land to someone else and make tractor noises if you really wanted to. I mean, I would have a hard time doing it. But, you know, for one, there's a deep desire or need for a lot of farmers to farm.
Well, yeah, I understand that. They like the farm and gamble. We know that. I mean, I get that part of it. But I mean, again, if I'm going to lose, let's say $40,000, and if I do nothing, I'm not going to lose anything. Yeah. Why would I lose the four? Why didn't I just take the year off? But I don't get deep into it, but there's a lot of things I don't understand, which is you're going to explain to me because you are the expert that's going to educate me on this this business. Well, no, I mean you understand it from the ground up. Basically, I understand how to trade it and I understand what happens. But you know, I'm going to tell you a story when we come back. But I went to a documentary movie the other night on vegans being vegans, and you should see the things I talk about there. Yeah. You'll get a kick out of this because it's interesting. But when we come back, we're going to talk to Angie about the vegan movie. We're going to talk about how come the economy is so good and why is it translating? But anyways, we're with Angie Setzer, Madam VP, not Madam Secretary, Madam VP of Citizens Elevator, and she's the Vice President of Grains, of course, and she's also on Twitter, the Goddess of Grains, and just an all-around good person when she's not Debbie Downer, but even when she's Debbie Downer, she's a good person, but she's always happy. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course, don't forget to download the show every day at libertytalk.fm, and make sure you do, because we got to get to 1 million downloads a month. That's the deal. I'm counting on you to put me over the top. And of course, don't forget to get Bubba's Daily Update every single day. I send it to you right after the close. I shoot a quick video and you get to see my smiling face, and what could be better than that? And I send it to you. And you know, you get the video of the Daily Update, what I think. And of course, all you have to do to get that is go to BubbaTrading.com and a little box pops up for free. So why miss out? You know, you can check it out and get the updates every day, plus my weekly version. So in the meantime, this is the Bubba Show. We're with Angie Setzer, the Goddess of Grains and Vice President of Grains at Citizens Elevator. We're going to step out here for break, and we will be right back with more after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz, coming right back to you. Fly me to... What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report. Bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz with the goddess herself, Angie Setzer, and the goddess of grains, and also the vice president of grains at Citizens Elevator out of Michigan. She lives in Iowa, though. But anyways, all right, Angie, so I got like 1,000 questions. But number one, I thought the economy was so good. How the heck is our grain prices so low?
Yeah, I don't know.
We were so good. Everything's great. But yet, you know, it costs the farmers more to put in today. Where are we going from here? How are we going to get this turned around? Yeah. Tell me.
Yeah, I honestly don't know. You know what I mean? Like, that's why everything that we thought we knew about economics when it came to, you know, free money and inflationary pressure and blah, 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 really hasn't spilled much over into commodities, at least at the very least grains. Now, of course, we have proven that the American farmer is very good at what he does. Not only the American farmer, but the farmers of the world. You know, the one thing that we've really seen is this massive increase in Russian production stocks and their ability to export. Now, a lot of folks that will put money that continues. For me, I kind of wonder. I mean, you've got a lot of geopolitical issues that are still underlying when it comes to Russia, China, North Korea. You know, you've got that little group that triumvates or whatever, if you will, and may have just made a word up. But the reality is, we've seen a significant expansion in global production. We've also seen a significant expansion in global demand. But of course, that expansion in production has been, you know, much more obvious than the one in demand. So that's been part of it. I mean, we have plentiful stocks. I'm not going to argue about that idea. We've got more than double what we need to have for minimum pipeline levels when it comes to corn. We've got, you know, four times the minimum level when it comes to soybeans. And I'm not even sure what the minimum level is on wheat, but we've almost got a billion bushel of wheat just hanging out waiting for someone to use it, you know, and that's just in the U.S. So, you know, there's a reason that we have low prices. You know, we just haven't developed a fundamental story that would encourage, you know, demand. But the one thing that is troubling, or the one thing that is concerning, is when you look at it, you know, versus all other things, you know, when you factor in inflation and you know, life, you know, the price of a pickup's what, five times what it was in 1980, and you know, a price of a house is five times or whatever. I mean, that's not my gig to know the exact numbers on that. But you've seen inflationary pressure happen everywhere in our lives except for, you know, commodities. Now, granted, corn is, you know, one and a half, maybe nearly double what it was when I first started trading here a decade and a half ago. Beans are up significantly from where they were. I mean, I bought $4.80 beans, you know, in my life. I'm not going to say I haven't.
I bought $4.20. And don't use the decade and a half to prove that you're young in 15 years. It's 15 years. It's been.
Yeah, it's 15 years. But, you know, yeah. So, I mean, we have seen some significantly lower prices. But when you factor in inflation and things like that, we just have not seen that spillover happen into our raw commodities. But I've always said that, too. You know, the quickest way to have an unhappy populace is to have a hungry populace. And so the goal of most every government out there is to maintain low food costs, a full and available food supply pipeline at, you know, low cost is what everyone's goal is. I mean, you look at what the USDA has to say, and that is their, you know, their driving factor. And so I think that plays a part into it. You know, unfortunately, though, our farmers have to try to figure out ways to survive. And in many cases, there was just a conversation this morning on Twitter of a group of farmers, you know, talking about working to produce 300 to 500 bushels to the acre corn. You've got to produce more of a low cost commodity in order to survive. And so, you know, you're chasing your tail. You know what I mean? You're producing more of something we don't need more of, but you have to do that in order to be profitable. And so it's a constant struggle we have right now.
Okay, so according to the vegan movie I saw, okay, they say that we're running out of grains, okay, and we're not going to have enough, okay. And they're talking about it takes some ridiculous number, like, I don't know, whatever it was ridiculous in my opinion. And I go, okay, then if that's the case, then why are grain prices at prices? I mean, if you take the ethanol value out of corn, you're talking about 180, 190 corn. Okay. Now that hadn't been that low since the 90s. When I first started trading, we were trading 2, 3, and 4, 2, 3, 2, 3, 2, 2 corn, 3 wheat, 4 soybeans. Basically that was the measurement. So now, so what does that mean? What are they talking about if they're telling me that we're going to run out? I mean, there's more here, and believe me, with the technology, we could produce so much more if we wanted to, but there's no point to it at the point, I don't think. What do you think?
Well, therein lies the struggle, because you do have the vegan movement and the narrative there that we're running out of food and all of this conversation that there's less food, so you should pay more, or we should do this or we should do that. And the reality is we have plenty of food. You can point to areas in the world where politics has limited imports or the available supply or perhaps even GMO technology or something like that. I mean, there's a whole slew of things that you can kind of look at, that it blows my mind that we still have people in this world that are starving. It triple blows my mind that we have people in this country that are starving, because we do. And that's unbelievable to me that we do. So there is an issue. I'm not going to say that there isn't an issue that some people for some reason are unable to access, good, solid supplies of food. It's mind blowing to me, but it happens. The reality is, though, is we are not running out of food, or we have the ability to produce more than enough food. Obviously, we have surpluses when it comes to, our grains and our pulse crops, dry beans, anything, all of these things that you can eat, there's surpluses out there. Of course, corn, it is not thought to be a food product. It can be, made into corn syrup and things of that nature. But most folks, you're not going to go out and pull an ear of field corn off and eat it, of course, but it can be converted into meat, which, of course, the vegan movie is not going to point that out. They're not going to point out the easy, accessible, well-rounded forms of protein that you can get, outside of what is considered, qualifies as vegan. So, it is interesting that there is a conversation out there that we're days away from starvation or whatever it may be, because we have the ability and we will continue to produce a solid food supply. That I don't think that should ever come into question. We have the ability to do it. It's just a matter of how we are capable, or how we are able to do it, or what exactly that may mean. What types of food are we looking to produce, or something like that.
Well, have you seen the average waistline of people in America recently?
We are definitely not starving. I mean, most people. I saw a show, though, a couple, 3 weeks ago. Well, it was just ahead of Thanksgiving, that highlighted poverty in the Quad Cities here in Iowa. And I literally sat and cried through the whole entire thing, because it was three families that they had followed, and it was three, the children happened to be about 9 years old, but they were showing the family, but they were focusing on, what it was like for a child in poverty in the Quad Cities in Iowa. And I just could not believe it. In the world in which we live and in the conversations that we have about, you know, the lack of ability to hire. I mean, that's my biggest struggle right now in my role in the elevator is finding qualified people who want to work and filling positions that we have open, you know. And so we talk about that all the time of underemployment or things of that nature. And you know, to actually sit and watch a family or watch a child, you know, of course, because it's what you were focusing on, struggle with, you know, we have to choose who gets to eat on a Wednesday night. And, you know, they were talking about sending kids home with bags of goods to get them through the weekend. You know, I don't know how you fix it. But it is still mind blowing to me, that we are that close, or that we, you know, we aren't really that far removed from someone in our, you know, in our local area that is struggling to put food on their table when we have the surplus of food availability that we do.
Listen, I couldn't agree more, and there's a lot of ways to fix it, but of course you have to deal with the politicians, and they'll never fix it. That's part of the problem. I mean, you know, if you would take off the people on welfare that shouldn't be on welfare and feed the people who actually need to be fed, you might actually get somewhere. But of course, that's one of the problems with the system, because these guys are more worried about themselves than they're worried about the rest. And we'll talk about more of this good, lively conversation, depressing, with Angie Setzer, the goddess of grains, and also the vice president of grains at Citizens Elevator. And she's going to cheer us up when we come back. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. Remember, highschoolinvesting.com. Speaking of, we got to educate everybody so that we won't have these problems in the future, because most people have no idea of what finances is all about. So make sure you go check out highschoolinvesting.com, and then go to patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And help a brother out, and let's get this high school. We got 300 high schools. We want to get to 30,000. So we're going to need some help. And, of course, if you do help out, you get access to the information and the site and get to learn a little bit about the markets as they are. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. We're with Angie Setzer, the goddess of grains, and also the vice president of grains at Citizens Elevator. We'll be right back with more after the break. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz with Angie Setzer, the goddess of grains, and also the vice president of grains at Citizens Elevator, and also the chief cook and bottle washer at Weight Watchers, because we got too many people that don't have enough food. Anyway. Right. Anyway. All right.
I'm
so
all kinds of depressing today.
I got to ask you this question. So, and this is actually, why would a guy or a farmer, gal, guy, could be anybody, pay like 8 cents or 9 cents to store when you can just go out and buy in the market and not have to pay the storage? I mean, you're giving up that kind of money to begin with. What's the rationale behind that?
Behind buying
storage versus just selling it and just putting the money in the market. Same thing, right? Isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of good reasons. I mean, for one, it's convenient. You know, harvest time is a time where, you know, especially with weather and things of that nature, you know, you want to get as much done as quickly as possible. And so the last thing you want to do is show up to an elevator and be stuck in a 2-3-4 hour line, or, you know, hear that they're backed up to the dryer or something like that, and you're unable to get the grain dumped that you need when you need the truck back or something like that. So convenience is a significant factor. You know, you don't have to deal with the elevator being closed on a Sunday or closing at 9 p.m. when you want to be running in the field as a farmer. As an elevator manager, I can tell you 1,000 reasons why we have to shut down sometimes during harvest. But farmers, again, you know, they really don't care about that because they want to get the crop in the bin. So there's that reason. Convenience, the ability to get stuff done when you need to get it done. The biggest thing is something that has been, you know, talked about quite often this year in the ag industry itself and amongst traders, some of which I question if they really know what they're talking about other than just kind of parroting a phrase, sell to carry, you know, that's what we've heard a lot of. But for my growers, traditionally the worst time to deliver grain from a basis standpoint, which is the difference between cash price and futures, is at harvest. And that's, you know, basis is a function of local supply and demand. So at harvest time, of course, You have far more supply coming out of the field than you have demand for it. So it's really one of those things where, like I said, function of local supply and demand, basis tends to be exceptionally wide at harvest time, especially in years like this where we have a decent carryover of old crop stocks and a significant amount of new crop coming in. So, you know, perfect example of that is this year at harvest time, soybean basis for us was running around 80 under the November board. For a farmer who was hedged, let's say he had a $10 hedge November short hedge on, there was 25 cents approximately carry between the no and the March if he would have handled his spread properly. So let's say that $10 hedge now turns into 10.25. So he's gained 25 cents by being able to hold that crop. Something he could have done had he had a short on the board, you know, or something like that. So that is something that he could have captured if you were just trading paper. But basis has firmed nearly 35 cents at this point. So I have a customer right now that has captured that 25 cents by holding that grain by having his shorts on the board, but is also going to capture 35 cents in basis improvement because I can pick up now for 45 under because the supply, the pipeline has dwindled, the supply and the pipeline has lessened, demand has stayed constant. Not a lot of beans are moving because it's wintertime and it's cold and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Crush has been up pretty decently. And so he's able, because he has those bins at home, he's able to capture 60 cents that he would not have otherwise. And that more than covers the bins. Now, of course, this is kind of an outlier type situation. Traditionally, you can expect to capture 10 to 15 cents a roll, you know, whether it's from the beast to the March to the May or something like that in corn, you know, and maybe 15 to 20 cents in basis. But this year in beans, holding beans has definitely provided a phenomenal opportunity in enhancing the hedges that they may have that they wouldn't have otherwise had, you know, if they didn't have the bins. Had they had to deliver that $10 hedge at harvest time, it had been 920 cash to them. Versus now my customer is going to deliver 980 beans instead. So it's a huge difference. It's, like I said, it's not always a guarantee. Convenience tends to be the number one driving factor as to why guys put a farm storage set up for them, you know, at home or on their farm. But the ability to, you know, market your grain when the cash pipeline is asking for it is the real driving factor, in, at least in my opinion, as to why you would have your own storage facilities.
So what kind of job you got for me over there at Citizens Grain? What do you want to hire me for?
That's all right. You can come in. You can be my head market analyst, or you can handle you can handle operations. That's what I really need is someone who can fix things. And you seem like the kind of guy that'll get right in and make sure the bearings on the legs are.
Yeah, I could do that. I'd rather be the market strategist. So I don't like to get my hands too dirty. You know, they're still soft. You know, after being a mechanic when I was a kid, you know, when I could actually fix a car back in the day before they became so complicated. You know, so we've got a whole mess going on, and we've got a big contradiction between equity markets and grain markets. And of course, that'll change again, mm-hmm. as it always does. But it's creating a lot of problems. And so I asked you, you know, I've asked this before, but, you know, with all the improvements, the tax cuts and everything else going on, are you seeing any real improvement in your neighborhood or with the people that are in the farming industry?
Honestly, right now, I can't say that I have. No, I mean, it's so hard in the farming industry and in ag in general because, you know, a lot of them are very, very proactive when it comes to taxes anyway and things like that. And will that benefit them in some ways, the tax plan changes and stuff? Yeah, it will. But we still haven't seen anything that's going to help them when it comes to the crushing cost of health insurance. And that's, you know, really where I think the biggest struggle is coming from. I mean, you're looking at rates that have quadrupled over the last year for some guys, and until we find a way to you know, alleviate that issue, I think it's going to be very hard to say that things are significantly improving in the countryside for farmers from an economic standpoint.
I don't actually see any real improvement anywhere. I mean, I haven't seen it since the beginning. So, you know, I know the market's going crazy, but I haven't seen much going on. And
yeah.
We're coming towards the end here. Your predictions for December of this year, where's corn, wheat, and beans going to be?
This coming year?
Yeah.
Oh, gall.
Take a whack at it. What's the difference? I'll hold the tape in case you're wrong.
Yes, I appreciate that. I would say 850 or so on beans, 315 on corn, and 450 on wheat.
That doesn't sound too bullish. That sounds pretty bearish to me. I don't know.
But there's going to be some bullish opportunities along the way. That's the thing.
I'm going to say, I got to get mine in because I want it on tape too. I'm going to say $6 wheat. I'm going to say $4.50 corn. And I'm going to say, I'm not sure about beans, but I'll throw 990, which is the number I'm watching now anyway. So that would be my thing. Right. So Angie Setzer, as always, you are truly a pleasure to have on. And this is Angie Setzer, the goddess of grains and the vice president of grains at Citizens Oliver. Thank you so much. Happy New Year.
Oh, happy New Year to you. Thank you so much for having me. I always enjoy.
Well, we got to get you on more regular, but you're so damn busy. It's hard to find you. Anyways, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course, LibertyTalk.fm. Make sure you go down and download the show and listen to Angie numerous times. We're trying to get her on once a week, but it's hard to get a hold of her. So I try, but I keep trying, but she keeps, like everybody else, they just keep turning me down. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, I want to remind you to help us out with our high school program at patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And, of course, that will do it for today. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we'll see you back here tomorrow. Everybody have a great day. Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to be here. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great night, everybody. We'll see you later. Bye.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.